Sermons are great, but sometimes it's nice to move from the pulpit to a conversation around the kitchen table. This is Ask Pastor John with pastor and author John Piper.
John, many of us have loved ones with whom we have shared the gospel and we've prayed for years. In some cases, they would accept God's invitation, but they persist in rejecting that offer. Are there any words of hope you can offer to us in that circumstance?
Well, George Mueller, the British pastor who loved orphans and lived by faith in a most remarkable way, prayed daily for some people for 52 years, he said, and never saw their conversion. But the biographer tells us that for a couple of these, at least, they were converted at his funeral, which is an absolutely incredible thought, that you give yourself, because the Bible says, don't grow weary in praying. Keep knocking at the door. Keep going to the judge. Don't give up. And so he would say, just keep on praying, keep on praying, and believe that God will work his good will in their lives. And a couple of these folks that he prayed for were converted. And he had to look down from heaven and see it and died thinking, well, that wasn't going to happen. But it did happen. So my first encouragement is to say there are examples of answers to prayer that you don't know about. They happen when you're gone, some of them. I know that doesn't solve all the problems because some of the people we love and care about die before we do. And we have to watch them go to their grave. And for all intents and purposes that we can see, they never professed faith in Christ. And to those people, I would say two things. And I have often, goodness, I've done the funerals for those who are blatantly out and out professing unbelievers. So I'll give you one example. I was doing a funeral for an old man, the brother of one of our godly women who lived by himself and was outspokenly anti-Christian, as far as we know, to the day he died. There's about 30 people at this funeral. It's a horrible, blustering storm in the middle of winter outside, so we're not going to go to the graveside. I was told that at the last minute. So I invited these 30 people to walk to the front, gather around this coffin, and here's Odette, the older lady, was her name. She's going to be with the Lord now. And she knows, and everybody in that room knows, her brother was an out-and-out unbeliever. What are you going to say, Piper, around this grave? And I said, we all know, finally and decisively, where Harold is, because of the thief on the cross, and in the 11th hour, this man knew the gospel. He had a godly sister who prayed for him and told him the gospel. Maybe in the 11th hour, in that apartment where he was found dead, he cried to the Lord. I don't want to be artificial and create unrealistic hope, but that's a fact. But here is our bottom line hope, and then I quoted Genesis 18:25. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? And so I looked at him, I said, we just have to trust God that he will do what's right and what's best, and that someday we will be granted in the age to come the emotional framework to feel emotional satisfaction and approval, whether Harold has been destroyed and been punished in hell or whether he was plucked from the fire and taken to heaven. And we will not live our eternity in endless remorse and regret. We will approve the wisdom and justice of the living God. And that's where you leave people. So whether people find hope really depends on how deeply do they trust in the sovereign wisdom and goodness of God.
Okay, what about the person who has heard the invitation to seek the Lord, who has sensed the Spirit's conviction of sin in their conscience, but who just can't seem to break away from certain behaviors that he or she knows God doesn't like? How great is the danger in that situation?
Jesus used language that would make us think the danger is great. He said, Anyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it from you, for it is better to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. So there's hell held out as the consequence of not battling with eye-gouging seriousness your sin. And I say it like that carefully, Bob, because I don't want to say that text proves if you fall again in lust, you go to hell. What it says is gouge out your eye. In other words, undertake a battle here that is as serious as eye gouging and hand chopping. You don't do that. That wouldn't help you anyway. It says pluck out your right eye. Well, you'd still have your left eye to see with, so it wouldn't help you with lust at all. The point is, gouging out an eye connotes how serious the battle is. So what I want to say to that person is, the gospel is there for failing imperfect people. So don't think perfection is going to be necessary in this life for you to make it to heaven. Jesus gives the perfection, or is the perfection. However, don't you become lackadaisical about the warfare against your sin. Be killing sin or it will be killing you, John Owen said. And so undertake the battle and do by the Holy Spirit all you can do, and then cast yourself on the mercy of God in Christ every day.
Thanks for joining us for Ask Pastor John. You might also enjoy our teaching program. Look for it on the front page at desiringgod.org. In 25 minutes or a little less, John Piper unpacks God's Word in his own unique, God-intoxicated style. Look for it at desiringgod.org. And check out our resource library, www.desiringgod.org.